Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast. We're back in the pub this week. I'm Simon Head, I'm a Gillingham fan. Alongside me is a new face, a new voice to the show, Mr. Michael Coxon. How you doing, mate?
I'm not too bad. I'm a Manchester United supporter.
Hailing from
the good old north, just outside of Manchester, so I can just about claim to be a true supporter.
So we're allowing a northern person onto the podcast for the first time, I believe. Could he not have been a City fan?
No, I've got taste. And a cousin who would have beaten me up if I was, so...
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's fair enough. We also have Mr. Jim Staples, as usual.
Yep.
And Mr. Stuart Hoare.
Afternoon.
Who's still very smug, more of which later. Right, we'll kick off with our main question this week. Start with you, Stu. Who should be the next England manager after Fabio Capello? We know Capello is going to leave the job after the Euros. He's not going to stay until the World Cup. Who would you have as your next England manager?
Apart from someone who would never take the job, Mourinho, I don't really see who you'd go for. I mean, there's Allardyce being touted. I think Harry Redknapp's gone to favourites.
Yeah.
It's a bit ridiculous, really. Maybe just fold them.
Stop playing internationals.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Take our ball back and go out.
Yeah. We're going to stop now because we haven't got anyone to manage us. So.
I don't know. I'd like to see Mourinho because obviously he'll have a point to prove for an impossible job, but I don't know.
He won't take it. He said this week he won't take it.
Yeah, it's in on TV programme, wasn't it?
Mm. TV programme? What, Sky Sports News?
Was it Sky? It was on a programme with Gary Lineker.
Yeah, that was last night. It was quite a good programme, actually.
It was about,
will England ever win the World Cup, I think it was called. And the general consensus was no.
They should have just done that. They should have just opening titles and then Gary Lineker says, nah, and then closing titles. 2-minute programme. Would have been nice.
Jim, who have you...
So what's he actually said?
He said Mourinho,
or
but basically don't bother.
Alright, so options I went through. Roy Hodgson was a tout. No, he was before the start of this season. Hodgson will be the next one.
Yeah.
And then Stuart Pearce is probably going to be, I reckon it'll be Pearce. I've been grooming him for a while, under 21. But he'll probably be glorious failure when he does become manager.
To be honest, I'll be happy with that.
I'd be happier with Pearce than most other options.
He's a good number.
And then
two,
there'll be other people who say, like, oh, Holloway, because he's the man of the moment and stuff like that. But Holloway won't have to. What? What are you looking at me like?
How funny would that be if he was.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, I think to be an international manager, you have to have the respect of the players.
Yeah.
And I don't think Holloway would have the respect of someone like Gerrard or like Rooney or someone like that because of who he is and stuff like that.
Bit of mouth, isn't it?
Yeah, fair enough. But it'll be quite interesting. But I don't think he's international. Like one good season or two good seasons, he'll stay up and whatever.
Yeah.
I'd go for Glenn Hoddle.
Hoddle.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he left England because of what he said about cripples and stuff like that. And
yeah. I believe they were his exact words.
Pretty much. He might as well have said that. It would have had the same result. He didn't leave because of any footballing reasons. And I think if he'd stayed, he would have been quite good. Technically, in terms of coaching, obviously he's out in Spain and stuff like that, so he still has his hand in international football. And I don't think he's a club manager, but I think he'd be brilliant as an international coach. And I think if we got him back, he'd do a job.
Yeah.
And I think if we'd have kept him, we'd have done a lot better in the last sort of 8 years after he left.
Yeah.
Than we did end up doing it, like the Euros and stuff like that, and 2002 World Cup and stuff like that. Because I mean, France 98, we did quite well. We came up against a good Argentina team, and we looked quite a good side as well.
Mm. We had some players with a bit of bottom.
Yeah, so I'd go Hoddle.
Okay, it's as if you've read my notes, but that's fine. Mike,
I had to think about. I thought about Hoddle, but I can't see it happening with all the
soft southerner.
Well, yeah, I know. I did think about getting maybe Bernard Manning in, but he's dead. there was a few that I thought about. Mourinho, it's never going to happen. Roy Hodgson, by then, will be halfway through his 5-year plan to take Liverpool to the conference.
When they interviewed him, they said they wanted the championship, didn't they?
He's got the wrong one.
He thought he meant the championship.
He's taking them.
We want to play in the championship.
I reckon he wants freedom of the city of Manchester. That's why he's doing it.
Fair enough.
But I actually, my thoughts, because it is a really bad bunch, I've gone for Steve Bruce.
Yes.
Partly out of nepotism, because he's obviously a United legend, but solid manager. He's got good lower league pedigree.
Perfect for England.
He's been in the Premier League for a good few years. He's got bottle. And yeah.
He's the English Sven as well. He whores himself out.
He's been with Sunderland a while now, but he is a whore.
He's ready to go.
Yeah.
He isn't whoring himself as much as Harry Redknapp is for the England job.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but
how many times have you seen or read Harry Redknapp going, well, yeah, I'll take it if they offer it.
Redknapp's a myth anyway. Like every club he leaves are just a shambles. Spurs will end up in financial dire straits.
You can't buy players as an international manager either, can you? So
yeah, exactly. You know. Yeah, it'll be a proper wheel of deal.
The video's still on.
I like Steve Bruce though. I think that's a great shout. I think he seems like a nice guy as well, Steve Bruce.
There's not a lot to dislike about him.
He can mould himself as well as a manager and as a face.
There you go.
Because he wakes up every morning and decides how he wants his nose to look.
Speaks funny, doesn't he?
To smell around corners,
like out of his nose almost.
It's because he started his career in Medway. That would explain it.
Right, my three, I've got, if you've got a proven, somebody who's sort of proven international level, I said Hoddle.
Yeah.
Pretty much all the reasons you've already said, Jim, so I won't labour that.
No,
for a good laugh and for a bit of banter and to maybe get the fans back on side again, have someone like a Holloway. Someone like, just to bring the feel-good factor back. He can't do any worse than any other English manager, because the FA say they want an English manager next, and I think that's a mistake. I think you need to pick the best man for the job. And looking at the English managers out there, the three names that always that you would think would get linked would be Harry Redknapp. Yeah, I'm not sure about him. Sam Allardyce, forget about it.
Oh God.
Neil Warnock.
Warnock for England manager, there you go. We'd be the most hated team in Europe, if not the world.
So I think the good thing with Ian Holloway as well is you can guarantee that if we had an away fixture against Denmark or something, he'd come out of the plane with a Viking hat on. He just had that bit.
He'd put string of onions
around his neck in France.
I think he'd be good, but if you... And I know you said you wouldn't take the job, Stuart, and you probably wouldn't. If you want a world-class manager... There is only one guy who could really step in and do it, and that's Jose, but he won't take it. So
Howard Kendall? We're overlooking Howard Kendall.
The man with
the
shiniest head in football.
He's always done well when he's come in and done a job, hasn't he?
Joe Royal. Big papier-mâché head.
Joe Royal reminds me of a guy on Guy Fawkes.
So we've not really come up with too many concrete... Hoddle's probably the best name we've come up with, I guess. All right, let's looking at the weekend football very, very briefly. Did anyone see that Carl Henry tackle?
Oh, dear.
And someone sent me an email saying, I don't think it was that bad. I'm like, are you having a laugh? He hit him at about 40 miles an hour at the start.
Even in slow motion, it looks quick.
Yeah, it was like a car. He'd like been hit by a car. One minute he's going one way, next minute he's horizontally going.
He's both his legs
90 degrees
the other
direction.
Oh dear.
Oh, he's mental.
Booking at most.
Yeah. Six or one half, doesn't
it? Yeah. People pay a lot of money and he's ruined the game there early on.
Because
after that, it's a one-way contest. So he should think about the punters more, the referee, really.
Thing is, he was being touted for an outside call up for England, wasn't he?
Carl Henry.
I heard that in a few places.
What paper were you reading?
We don't know.
The Guardian.
The Guardian.
Right, guys, we've got the international tomorrow night. Let's have one training match. I'll be on Cole's team.
Yeah, you don't want to be against him, do you?
You never know, he might be the next manager. He'd probably scare the FA into giving it him.
Just 2 foot people in the face if they don't get it.
Oh dear, he's becoming like the Graham Souness of the Premier League, isn't he?
I like
just
him.
Running around kicking people.
How did we get onto that?
It was just stuff that's happening this weekend.
Oh right.
There's that and there was another bad tackle which I'm not sure how intentional this was. Nigel De Jong broke Ben Arthur's leg.
I don't think this
Simon Pitney, I could hear the cheering from down the road. After
can someone do it to Heskey? Because there's rumours that he's been in talks this morning about getting him back in the squad as well.
Fabio Capello has asked him to come back for one game only, and Heskey's gone no.
Why is he asking for one game only?
Because they're so short strikers. But when everyone's back fit again, Heskey's not going to be needed.
We've got Andy Carroll. We're not short of strikers.
Andy Carroll may not play either.
He bloody well will.
He might not make the squad.
He will.
He's behind Sholey Ameobi in the pecking order of Newcastle. So surely,
you've got to worry about that, haven't you?
But it'd be interesting to see what happens because there's room. I listened to
Sholey Ameobi.
The Sky Sunday Supplement. They'll sit around eating toast.
Yeah.
They were talking about them.
Is that still on TV?
It's on TV, like, but there's a podcast for it. It's a bit like this, but with people who know what they're talking about. So they were talking about Andy Carroll falling out with Stuart Pearce in the 21s. He's been left out of the 21 squad. And a lot of people think it's because he's going to be in the seniors. But it sounds like that might not be the case. He might just have dropped him. Let's look at the team. Man United at the weekend, Mike.
Oh, it was...
Dropping points, mate.
Yeah, another disappointing away performance. At least this time we didn't sacrifice a 2-goal lead.
but we
should have lost by about 2 goals. So we're fine at the back, apart from John O'Shea, who I think has got the same photos of Alex Ferguson that Brian McClair and David May had for years to
always in
stay
team.
In the team.
Yeah.
But yeah, we need a left winger more than anything. Anderson's not a left winger. Cheeson Park.
Ashley Young and Gentry.
Ashley Young's not a bad shout. I think it's going to be that Sanchez from Udinese. But
okay.
We just desperately need it because we just look like we didn't have a clue. And Darren Fletcher has gone backwards again this season. He seems to go forwards two steps and then backwards three every few years. Mm. But
should try that with the ball. Might get
yeah.
It's not a bad result,
but it's no.
Because other teams will drop points there, I think. Yeah. They already have, haven't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. All things considered, we had a clean sheet and we're still undefeated in the league.
Yeah, you're still in there. I mean, you know, they're going to be there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
United's blip normally happens a bit later in the season. You're just having it right at the start.
Yeah.
So if this is as bad as it gets, then, you know, it's going to be interesting. But, I mean, it can't be often that you've looked at a league table that's in Man City above you. Like, that can't look good, can it?
First time in a few years.
Last time they finished above us was about 1990, I think. But it won't last. They lost to Sunderland. So we're already 1 point better.
Oh, there you go.
Liverpool are going to win the title anyway.
which title? The Championship?
No, they will. Trust me. Honestly, they will.
Say yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be very quick with this one, Jim. With a laugh and stuck in football league, aren't we? Gillingham.
Yeah, I had some really nice texts on Saturday and Sunday.
You scored four away from home, though.
Second time this season we've scored four away from home and lost.
Lost both games.
Yeah, we lost.
We lost 5-4 at Bury a couple of weeks ago.
7-4 was the result anyway. We lost at
Accrington. We were 2-1 up in that game as well.
Jeez. It's just phenomenal. Yeah. I think we're brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. But yeah, I got a couple of nice texts on Saturday and Sunday. One of them just said, "Who are they?" from the advert of Accrington.
Yeah.
One of them said Ian Rush. And then I had some phone calls this morning from work asking if I could... We actually sat down at like 9 o'clock and someone phoned internally and asked if I had milk. I was like, what? I mean, can I have 7 pints of milk?
Is that Ben Butler?
Yeah.
Thank you, Butler. Stu, lift the mood, mate. You are the only one of the people sat around this table who's actually something to crow about.
How boring is this, by the way?
Yeah, it's getting a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah.
I reckon we should sack a manager, lose a couple of games. Well, another, that's 4 points now. Well, no, 3 points we've earned now in the after the 90th minute. Again, 93rd minute, we've made it 2-1 this weekend.
It's Warnock time.
Yeah, I think that's the best game Palace in the playoff season. They've still lost, so I think they're in trouble this season. They're horrible.
It was one of those last, they scored in the like 89th, 88th. And then when I saw you scored in the like last minute, that's
so
that's brilliant.
So
did you go?
Yeah, I did go. The atmosphere was very good on Saturday as well.
Did you rip up any seats, Stuart? Because you've got a history of ripping up the Arthur Waite seats, haven't you?
I tried breaking a plastic seat this season. It only got a crack in it. No snaps. No snaps or breakages this season.
Oh dear.
We should point out he didn't do that mindlessly. It's just when Stuart celebrates a goal, he reacts.
It goes off.
It goes off big time.
Just something in my head clicks.
He lets the dogs out.
Sort of Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
It's not mindless football violence. We don't condone that at all.
No, well, actually, it was
we're not Danny Dyer.
This game last season, I actually broke a pair of my friend's glasses. Not this season, so it was all good.
Whose glasses? Just a QPR fan?
No, it was a friend who was with me, luckily. So he wasn't that unhappy, but I think they were quite an expensive pair of glasses.
Never mind. Don't wear them to football.
All right, it's time to pick out our Fantasy 11. This time we're talking about our... Originally it was going to be an all-time England 11, but I think we're picking them based on our own individual lifetime. So we'll have to name the year that we're picking it from.
Because if you just say all-time England 11,
it'd be the same players.
Yeah, everyone could do that. You're looking goal. You're looking at Nigel Martin.
Yeah.
And then obviously
Colt Palmer and Keith Curl at the back.
Everyone's going to pick the same team, so we might as well do.
Yeah.
You're going to do it. So
no, that's right. Mike Duxbury, get him in there.
I've never even heard of him.
There you go.
Not Mike Duxbury.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Someone should.
Stu, okay, tell us what year you're picking from. Like, what's your starting year and then your team?
About 2002 for Stuart. He's about 16 years old.
I've gone for 1996.
Why 1996?
That's the first time I particularly remember watching England.
Okay.
In goal, we've got David Seaman.
Yeah.
Left back Ashley Cole.
Yeah.
Centre backs Ferdinand and Campbell.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling at right back because I haven't really seen
anything. There's no right.
Look at a Man United fan.
There is one right back who stands above them all.
I think I'll probably put him in, Gary Neville.
Yes.
But I think that's it, really.
Yeah.
I've put Gerrard on left midfield, Paul Scholes, Gascoigne in the middle,
yeah.
Beckham on the right, and Owen and Shearer up front.
You could virtually still pick that team. drag a couple of them out of retirement, that team could still turn out.
Gasser
might have to sit that one out, I think, but the rest of them could all probably still do a job.
Put a drip on his back, you'd be fine.
It's true, they could all play.
That's a decent side. All right.
And mind you, if you pick that team, Rio Ferdinand would be the one that dropped out because of injuries. The rest would be alive. Gazza would be smashed out of his face, but he'd be there.
Yeah. I don't know, Gazza might nip off to the northeast to go and talk to another serial killer.
Yeah, that's true.
It happens, doesn't it?
Yeah,
keep creeping up.
He has previous. Jim, what about yours, mate?
Okay, yeah, I did the same thing. My criteria was, I said this to Mike earlier, so it's players in my era. So I've gone from about 1990 when I was sort of 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And I've said, basically, if a player dropped out of a World Cup squad the eve before the World Cup final started, you'd be devastated when they dropped out.
Yeah.
So you're looking at, like, Beckham in 2002 when you weren't sure if he was going to play. Yeah. Be lucky if when Rooney as well, for the last Euros and stuff like that. So if a player dropped out before the World Cup started, you'd be like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
But saying that, I did have Gary Neville in my team. If Gary Neville had dropped out, I don't think you'd have had the same reaction. But I've gone David Seaman.
Yeah.
I think when he was at his prime, if he dropped out, we didn't really have. It would have been Nigel Martin probably as backup. Or David James. Left back Ashley Cole. I think he'd be a massive miss if he ever dropped out. Centre backs have gone for Tony Adams and Sol Campbell.
Yeah.
Because I think Adams, particularly Euro 96, he was a big, big player for us. And if he wasn't there, it would have been a massive gap. Campbell was awesome. France 98.
He was a beast,
he was just first name on the team sheet on some. And then I was going to go for Gary Neville, but actually I'm going to put Stuart Pearson at right back.
At right back?
Yeah. I'm not sure he's ever been to right back.
No, he hasn't, but he's still better than Gary Neville.
No.
We'll just say, look, you can use your left foot, but you're going to play right back.
Yeah, that's all right.
And then my midfield is actually exactly the same as Stewart's.
Okay.
Beckham on the right, Gerrard on the left, Gazza and Scholes. Doesn't give you much protection for a back four, but I just think...
You wouldn't lose the ball a lot, would you?
No, exactly. They all do love the ball.
Yeah.
But I just think those players... and Gazza, but to be fair, Gazza's never really had a tournament where if he dropped out, it'd be a massive loss because Italia 90 didn't start the tournament.
He was a breakthrough player then.
Yeah, exactly. 92, I'm not too sure about. 94, we weren't there, obviously. 96, he was there and he did play very well. But he
92,
wasn't...
he was injured.
Yeah.
I don't think he played because he did his knee in the cup final against Forest.
Yeah, exactly. So, and 96, I know he turned out to be a big player, but he wasn't absolutely indispensable. And then obviously 98, Hoddle didn't take him. So, yeah. And then my up front as well, Shearer and Owen.
Okay.
Other but considerations, Steve Bruce, although he never played.
Yeah.
One of the, would have been in there.
That's one for another 11, I think.
Yeah.
Greatest players never won an England cap.
Other considerations I didn't put in, Ince. Gary Neville, obviously, at right back.
Yeah.
Paul Parker, maybe, as well. Although I didn't really see him play that much, so I couldn't really put him in.
Yeah.
And Steve McManaman should have been a brilliant player.
He was he was almost there, wasn't he? He was almost
especially,
there.
Like, you're 96,
and he never really
glimpses,
kicked on, did he?
And then he kept getting injured, he had his ankle injuries. Then he went to Real Madrid, they bloody loved him there.
Yeah.
They absolutely loved him, which shows he was doing it on an international or European stage. So I consider putting
Champions
him in.
Champions League medal with him as well.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with my midfield.
Cool.
And then out of the current squad, I've got Ashley Cole and Gerrard in there, but you're looking at Rooney as well. Shearer and Rooney wouldn't be a bad up top.
Have you picked a manager?
Yeah, Glenn Hoddle.
Stu, did you pick a manager?
Neil Warnock.
No, then. <All right. laughs> Mike, who have you got?
I consider a lot of people. On the subject of Steve McManaman, I actually... watching the United game on a foreign television channel via the internet the weekend, he was commentating. He actually knows his stuff.
He's like Abu Dhabi TV.
Yeah. I think it was American.
Has he still got lovely long hair? Did you see him?
No, they didn't. It's a shame. But for the team, it's from about 1994 onwards.
Okay.
I vaguely remember around then English fans tearing up Lansdowne Road, and that's one of my first England memories. In goals, obviously David Seaman. Right back, and I'm going to make him captain, Gary Neville.
Behave.
I think he's broken.
Greatest captain England never had.
We should sack him.
Yeah.
There was rumours of him coming back next week.
Christ.
Should we have a little vote?
Really?
It's not even...
Go on in. Neville right back.
Stuart Pearce at left back. Ashley Cole's been great, but I just can't bring myself to put him in the team.
And yeah.
Stuart Pearce for Euro 96. Ferdinand and Campbell at the back.
Yeah.
Solid partnership. Right midfield, David Beckham.
Yeah.
With Gascoigne and Paul Scholes in the centre.
Yeah.
And then I've gone a bit left field for my left winger and gone for Darren Anderton, who I thought
Excellent. He only got injured playing club football because he hadn't played in that. He was always, well, no, he was always injured for club games and always miraculously recovered for England games and played well.
Yeah, Teddy Sheringham recently described him as the best player he'd ever played with.
Really?
Yeah.
Did Teddy Sheringham play with that good of players?
I think Teddy Sheringham drank a lot as a player.
Played with Tony Cascarino.
In fact, I think he said Tony Cascarino was his favourite striker
as well in the same interview.
I think he did. Alright, there you go. And then up front, I've gone for Rooney and Shearer.
Okay. And manager?
Manager, I was a bit torn because I think in my time there's been about six managers. Obviously not McLaren. and not Kevin Keegan. I think I was going to go for a combination, just because I like the sound of it, as Sven Hoddle.
Sven would be all over that with a court action, wouldn't he? He's got enough money to burn. Just before you start your site, all of ours have got a familiar feel. Yeah. I reckon out of the team that we've put together,
about seven or eight of them are all the same.
And also a lot of them played in the same team.
Yeah.
Like Campbell, Ferdinand, Cole, Neville, Seaman,
Beckham,
Scholes. And Shearer and Owen could potentially have all played at the same time.
Could have done.
And they were shit together.
Yeah.
And they're on all time England 11.
Mine goes back slightly further, being I'm a bit older than you lot. I've done it from the year
76.
But actually, the players are none of them are from the 70s, they're all from the 80s or the 90s. Seaman's my goalkeeper. I've had to pick Gary Neville by default as a right back because. Back in the 80s, we had Gary Stevens, who was an okay fullback but couldn't defend for Toffee. Paul Parker was all right as a sweeper, wasn't a great right back. He did all right in Italia 90, but Neville's been consistently good, so I'd have him. So I've got Neville at right back, Stuart Pearce is my left back, he was my footballing hero growing up. Tony Adams and Terry Butcher are my two centre halves. Possibly the hardest combination centre backs in the last 25 years for England.
Yeah.
Midfield four, a bit different to yours, Beckham on the right. Gascoigne and Brian Robson in the middle.
Good shout.
And on the left, Chris Waddle, who's the best left winger I've ever seen in an England shirt by distance. If he was playing now, he'd be worth ridiculous sums of money. There isn't a player in the Premier League who gets anywhere near him. And my strike partnership, I've gone for Shearer and Gary Lineker. If you had those two playing together, and they did very briefly for like two or three games, those two were just astonishingly good. Put them both in. And manager, Bobby Robson. Without a doubt,
Bobby.
And I'd have Peter Beardsley and Glenn Hoddle on the bench because both of them were geniuses as well. So that's my 11. So we've got, I mean, your three are all very similar. Mine's slightly different. So I'm
older.
A bit older, but yeah. Right, let's move on now to Stu's news. And Stu actually has some news. I know this because I sent it to him.
It's an interesting one. I've had an email as well this week from a Mark Pearce, who's a Cardiff City fan.
Yep.
And he's got the arse ache with us picking McNaughton in the British 11
for
last week.
It was me in fairness.
Well, yeah, actually, sorry, Mark, it was Simon who picked McNaughton in the British 11. He's a good level, but that's it.
And he's a Cardiff fan.
Yeah. And he doesn't understand why we've ignored Bellamy.
Yeah. And he wasn't as good as the players we picked.
And he doesn't deserve a place on the bench, Mark. Thank you very much.
He's too old, isn't he, for over 23?
Anything else? Is he anything else?
He does agree that Wales are a shockingly bad team, but he hopes Toshak's finally going to help them.
What, by leaving?
By leaving.
By leaving.
Stuart, you really are phenomenal. He's left. Read it again. Toshak finally going will help us, is probably what he said.
Cheers, Mark.
And what did he say at the end there?
I'm not interested in what he said. GPR won't be top for long. I don't know where that's coming from.
They're going to be top for a couple more games at least, because no one's behind them. So.
Alright, so what's your actual news?
The title is No Joke as Brazilian Clown tops votes for Congress. It's nothing to do with the Brazilian Clown.
Never get a job as a newsreader, Stu.
I'm not interested in that.
The news, I've just grabbed it off Stu because I can't read. Romário and Bebeto, Brazilian World Cup strike partnership from 1994, have both separately been voted onto the Brazilian government. So you got.
Just that like they become like a PM?
They're not quite Prime Minister.
MP.
PM promise. Yeah, basically they are now on the government in Brazil. They've got state-based government or city-based government. Romário has been voted onto the government of Brasilia, the capital. And Bebeto has been voted onto the Congress of Rio. But to give you an idea what kind of politics they've got over there, they both attracted quite a few votes, but not as many as a clown who has been voted as like the main man in Brasilia. And his basic
Bruce Grobler.
Here's a picture of him. This is we'll put this on the thing. And there are YouTube videos of his campaign, so we'll find one of them. His basic policy was, nobody knows what's going on in government, nor do I, but when I find out, I'll tell you. Right? Fair That's enough. Basically his whole thing. He got voted in.
He could do well over here.
He got over 1.3 million votes. And he got in, so did Romario, so did Bebeto.
I like the fact Romario and Bebeto are there.
Yeah.
That's like the equivalent of like some decent international past footballers becoming MPs here.
Gascoigne.
Yeah.
Not well no, this is the clown.
In charge of the budget.
Yeah. But I like that. Other news that I saw this week as well.
Yeah.
What's his name? Balotelli.
Mario Balotelli. Yeah,
he's not on my radar yet, as he's not done anything, but I do like him now. At the weekend, he was back in Italy because he's injured in Brescia, and he drove into a woman's prison. And they stopped him and were like, "What are you doing?" And he drove off. And since then, his agent and lawyer have released a statement, and they said the reason he drove into the prison was out of sheer curiosity. So he was driving.
He was just cruising along.
He was driving past a woman's prison, and he thought, "Oh, I'll drive in there and see what it's like." So he just drove in.
Can you drive into a prison?
Well, he does. It's absolutely brilliant. The doors must have just been open. So he's just driven in to have a little look around.
He should have stopped by Strange Ways in Manchester.
Yeah, exactly. Saved him a load of petrol, wouldn't it?
But he's a genius. And also, since he's been in Manchester, he's only been there like a month or 2 months. He was driving to training, and he got stopped by the police up there in Manchester, and. He had some money in his back pocket, 5k, literally, not in a wallet, just cash in his back pocket.
Wedged in.
So the police were like, okay, you're driving a flash car, we didn't know who he was. They were like, why have you got 5k in your back pocket? Do you know what he said? Because I'm rich. He just looked at him, because I'm rich, and they were like, okay, alright, off you go. And then he went to training. It's brilliant, isn't it? I knew you'd like that, Stu. Stu's eyes were like, I like him.
He's
now.
He's fantastic.
He's a bit of a live wire as a player as well.
I can vote him as an MP. When's he fit? Is he going to be playing soon as well?
I don't know. I mean, he picked up an injury and he needed a bit of surgery on it, but I don't know whether he's actually gone and had that yet.
Well, I'm looking forward to it because I like him already.
He was good at Inter Milan, but he got to the point where none of his teammates had passed to him.
His attitude's filthy, isn't it?
Yeah. Allegedly so, yeah. He struggled a bit towards the end at Inter Milan. Imagine you had him and you had Ibrahimovic in the same team.
He's only 19 as well, isn't he? So in a few years, he could probably play for England. That will come up.
He's played in the 21.
He's made his first
Monaco
something.
What an idiot.
He could have played along
with Almunia. Don't worry, if we get Harry Redknapp in, he'll wheel deal his way.
Exactly.
Looking back at our second team's performance this last weekend, Stu, the Graafschap.
It's done quite a bit of research this week. So you were saying you were looking forward to telling us all
Give
about
Give us some in-depth response to this.
The Graafschap Feyenoord 1-0.
Feyenoord?
Yeah.
They're playing Heerenveen.
No, they beat them last weekend, 3-2.
Okay.
That's a good result, final, because they've been getting thrashed by the big side.
They were getting banged, weren't they? It was like 6-0, 5-0.
Who scored the goals and stuff, Stu?
A guy called Pop Lean scored this weekend.
Okay.
Stu, what was it you were saying about the possession?
Yeah.
60-40 in the Graafschap's favour.
Oh, is that right?
So just grabbed his iPhone back to get the stats.
Apparently they were hammering them.
Oh.
Were they?
No, yeah. I haven't got a clue.
It was 1-0 draw, that's a good result.
Yeah, 1-0 this weekend.
Is it fair to say, Stuart, you haven't done that much prep for this this little section?
I've been very busy.
Yeah, very busy. Yeah.
Very busy today, James. So that would be my reason why.
Okay, but they drew 1-0.
1-0.
Yes, 1-0.
Well, it comes no surprise to hear that Peterhead are back to their losing ways again. They lost 4-2 to Brechin City this weekend. They're not going to be too happy with that. Hopefully we'll get some video reaction from manager Neil Cooper on the website later this week. Just takes a little bit more time to get stuff back when Peterhead have lost.
When we get that video, can we ask Neil Cooper as well if England will ever win a World Cup? Can we get his reaction on it?
No.
Cheers, Neil.
Right, Jim.
Yes.
Hastings.
Very, very good news, fellas.
Come on.
From our other fans. Remember last week they lost... A player left and their captain Fantastic was out injured.
Done 3-0 and they lost 3 players.
It's all turn around, boys. It's all bloody turn around.
You signed 3 players?
It's kind of. Got in there and
let
got
me, just let me finish. Hastings beat Haraburra 2-0 at the weekend. Ullerunda scored, standard.
Yeah.
Michael Phillips came off the bench and got a header off the crossbar, hit the crossbar, came down and hit the keeper and went in. One of those. Oh, nice. So comedy goal as well.
Yeah.
So ex-Gills Michael Phillips getting it. I think that's his second of the season. Then they found out that Sean Ray, captain Fantastic, also known as Razor as well, I believe, found that out this week from one of the guys down there. He's only out for 6 to 8 weeks. It's ligament damage, not a broken ankle.
Okay.
So they've won a game, as they lost last week. Sean Ray's not dead. He's still alive.
Good.
We're still sending some grapes, so don't worry about it.
Thank you.
And then last of all, they've signed someone, Nick Barnes. They've signed him as a direct replacement for Anthony Story.
Right.
The guy who just thought, oh, well, he's just, can't be bothered.
He's just done one.
Jackass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Got Cole Shorten away on Tuesday, so hopefully they can keep the momentum going. You asked me last week, Simon, mm-hmm. you were interested about the contract situation.
Yeah.
Because I sort of said, like, he's just left. And you were like, well, how does that work? Can he just leave?
If he can leave, surely he can't just stroll into another team. So.
Exactly. You can. So I did a little bit of research, and I asked my man down there.
Yeah.
He got back to me. Basically, Sean got back to me from Hastings. They don't have contracts down there. Like, some players are on contracts. Ooh. A lot of them aren't. So basically, it's non-contract basis.
So it's just a transfer of the registration.
Yeah,
the
and the official thing that you have to do is that if you want to make an approach for someone, you have to give them 7 days written notice.
Right.
So say Stuart's playing for someone, he's on a non-contract basis, I have to write to his club and say, look, I'm going to approach this player to play for us. Ooh. So basically, it gives them 7 days to go back to Stuart and say, look, stay here.
Or find someone
else. Yeah, we'll do this, we'll give you more goals, paper goals and stuff like that.
Ooh.
So it's dual. It stops, Sean's made a good point, it stops them paying for players that are injured or suspended.
Yeah.
So if Stu gets injured for 6 months, he's not on a contract. So Hastings haven't then got to pay this guy, even though he's not playing,
yeah.
Which makes sense. But obviously, it's the other double-edged sword. If someone comes in and likes Stuart and thinks, yeah, he could do a job for us,
they're
going to lose him, so particularly if it's a league club and they could have got money for him.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the players with aspirations in league football don't want to be tied down to a contract, obviously, because a league club can come in and just take him, basically, which is quite often. But I think a lot of the times they'll even do a friendly or whatever, or donate some sort of money like they usually do, like undisclosed fee and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there's your answer to that. You asked me,
cool.
I got the answer. So yeah, that's sums it up. Actually, a good 2-0 win, cracking on Tuesday. So I'll let you know how they get on next week. Also, as well, I've had a couple of emails. We'll be back next week, and we're going to do the Captain Fantastic, Sean Ray himself.
Oh,
so that'd
fantastic.
Be the UI. I know Stuart likes that.
Can
as
we
well.
Get 20 questions for Captain Fantastic?
Oh well, yeah, we'll try. We'll
Brilliant.
Try. I've got some contacts down there, so we'll give a little whirl. Mike, you haven't got a team yet, have you?
I've got one in mind, which are the Mighty Northwich Victoria of the Evo Stick Premier League.
Evo Stick,
that's absolutely
formerly known as the Unibond League.
They used
many
to be
years.
Conference, didn't they?
We were, yeah. We were the longest serving conference team.
I like that. It's we already as well.
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up going to watch them occasionally, and we've had a bit of mismanagement, a few poor owners who've put us in some debt, but now Jim Rush is in charge, so things are starting to look up.
What's their nickname?
It's the Trickies.
I like that. We've got some good nicknames, the Farmers, the Trickies, the Ewes, yeah, not so good.
The Blue Toon,
that's quite good. I like it. What's Dan's team called?
Side.
Proper Essex.
And a match report team. From Barkingside, who they lost again. Match report for that's going up on the website today. So if you want to catch up with the fortunes or not so fortunes of Barkingside FC, match report going up on the podcast website.
Good
this
work.
Week.
And then last of all, Riverside, our featured amateur team. Played a Premier League team again. We're in Division 1. We'll keep playing Premier League teams in the Cup. Cup draws have not been nice to us. We've had Premier League teams all the way. Lost 2-0. A couple of individual errors was all it was. Again, they didn't really threaten us. So
name
it was
and shame,
right.
Jim.
No, I'm not getting
name and shame.
It's the goalkeeper. No, but we looked all right. So we're back here. We've got a game on Saturday and it's back to league action. So hopefully we'll get our second win of the season.
Cool.
Because in the league, we've actually only played 2, 1-1, lost one as well. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the Riverside update for this week. I'll keep you updated on the kit. It's not there yet.
No.
But no, we keep wearing our kits.
We need this kit.
Keep squeezing into tiny, like, under-sixes kits.
That's not good.
But the kit will be there soon.
All right, cool. And we'll look forward now to our featured match of the week. We were going to go for England versus Montenegro, but we've realised in my short-sightedness that there is a far more important game than that
it's
coming
the bloody
up.
Bloody Alba Cup, isn't it?
The Alba Challenge
Cup.
That big
one in Scotland.
Yeah. The Alba Challenge Cup semi-final, Peterhead, Queen of the South. Are they going to do it? Si, your prediction, your team, your prediction first.
They're going to do it. They're going to do it. They're going to nick a 1-0.
It's optimistic. Let me look at the stats. Peterhead are second bottom of Irnbrew Division 2.
Irnbrew. Made in Scotland from Girders.
Yeah, IRN, Irnbrew. And Queen of the South, their opposition, are a league above in Irnbrew Division 1, and they are fourth. On the back of a 2-0 home win against Dunfermline at the weekend, Peterhead lost 4-2. And you still think they're going to do it?
I've just got a sneaking feeling for it. Yeah, I need to ring this. This is a delivery of my telly. You keep talking.
I'm going to. That's not going to get edited out. What's your score prediction before you get your telly delivered?
I said 1-0.
1-0. Okay.
1-0.
Stuart Hall, Peterhead, Queen of the South.
Looking at it, they've beaten top of the league at the weekend. Yeah. Queen of the South.
They're absolutely. Simon's not here now. We can say what we like about Peterhead.
I think they're on the wrong end of a Tonkin. 4-0.
I think. To be honest, if any Peterhead fans listen, I reckon you should get rid of Simon.
Simon out.
Absolutely lose it. Do like a Liverpool demonstration at the end of the next game, like a few hundred of you just stay. He's a bit podgy, looks a bit like Peter Kay. So you just get him out.
I can still be persuaded to take over Peterhead as well. If you want to try and throw your support behind me.
He can take Northwich Victoria. Yeah. Or I'd like to give him QPR. So you start losing, to be honest.
Your small prediction, James?
I'm going to go 5-1 to Queen of the South. I'd like Peter to win. I like the underdogs, and I like Neil Cooper, he's the ex-Jules boss there, but I think Queen of the South are going to smash them 5-1. I don't want them to, but that's what I'm going to go for.
What are you going for, Mike?
Well, I do want to go with the magic of the cup, partly because we all remember those famous Alba Cup victories of years gone by lower league teams.
That's what I remember growing up.
Yeah.
It's like the big day of the final.
Yeah.
And the teams getting off the end, the train.
You wake up, it's like Christmas, isn't it, the day of the Alba Cup final.
I'm just reminiscing now, thinking about it.
I think I'm gonna have to go for a 2-1 victory for Queen of the South. It's gonna be close, but I just can't see the boys doing it.
Okay. And we've got a guest predictor this week, so we'll go over to them for their guest prediction. Here we go. Okay, I'm here with this week's guest podcaster. People may know him from Funhouse. It's Pat Sharp, friend of the show. Pat.
Hello, James. How are you?
Yes, very good. So, your prediction for this week?
I'm going to go for Queen of the South 2-1.
Okay, so they're going to beat our podcast own Peterhead.
And I'm even confident that they will go on to win the trophy, mate.
All right, we don't want to know that. Just on the 2-1.
That's right. I just want to talk for as long as I can.
All right, cheers, Pat.
My 2 minutes of fame are over now. Well, thank you very much, James.
They were over in about 1992 when the show stopped, to be honest. How are the twins?
The twins are very well. It's their little birthday party this weekend.
Good.
So if you want to have a whip round and get some presents for them, all contributions gratefully received.
Okay, cheers. Cheers, Pat.
Right, okay, we'll finish up with class and arse. It's supposed to be Dan, but he couldn't make it, so I'll do this.
Surprise.
Class this week, Ian Holloway. He's just doing a fantastic job at Blackpool. 2-1 at Anfield, 9th place, 3 points off Manchester United in 3rd. He's doing a good job.
Points off Man U.
He's doing a good job. And arse, it's got to be Cole Henry. I mean, run around kicking
people. He has turned into an arse, isn't he? The boy's an arse.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know.
Cole Henry, you're an arse.
Thank you.
I'd love it if we got him to smash you to bits. just put Stuart in a field with a pair of shin pads and just get Cole Henry to go mental on him. Yeah. Just go for the head.
Yeah. Email us at banter@footballpodcast.co.uk, Twitter at twitter.com/footballpodcast. Also, we've got a new thing called Backstick Dan. Dan is now on Twitter. If you see a goal scored at the back stick, send him a tweet and put #backstick in your goal tweet, and he will read out all the best backstick goals each week on the Football Podcast. We're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast, and check out the website as well. That's us done this week. We'll speak to you again next week. Your brain.